Again, a 3-week series highlighting some of the inspiring women in the Bible. And it is no coincidence, especially since I don't believe in luck, that we're starting this series on Mother's Day, because moms are some of the most inspiring people in our lives. So we want to talk about some inspiring women. And I thought, as I was thinking about this series, I thought about a couple other titles for the series, because I put some thought into how we describe the series. To make them a little bit more impactful, I guess I could have said, Great Women of the Bible. But the problem is, sometimes when I hear that, or great women or great men in the Bible, it's a little bit intimidating, because maybe some of you ladies out there are going, wow, that's really not me, and I don't think I could be one of the great women of the Bible. But the good news is, the great women in the Bible were just ordinary women who tapped into the greatness of God. So I didn't want to use that one. That was pretty intimidating. How about this one? This was even more intimidating. Extraordinary Women of the Bible. You're like, wow, this series is not for me. Good news. Again, there are women in the Bible who did extraordinary things, who were just ordinary women who served an extraordinary God. So on purpose, I chose Inspiring Women of the Bible because I want to challenge both the women and the men in this series. That there are some women in Scripture who have some stories in their lives that we can attain to. They're attainable. They can be followed by us today, both women and men. So we want to spend some time doing that. And as we start today's series, I thought it would be important to remind all of us in the room, especially the men, that it's really important what you say to the women in your life.
Like, one of the conflict resolution tools they teach in marriage is ask questions. When you have a disagreement, don't just start spewing out what you think, make it worse. Ask questions, try to relate, make it better. I used that last week. My wife and I got into a disagreement. It got hot, it got heated. We started a fight. I stopped myself right there, started asking questions. Honey, why are you being a psycho right now?
The good news is he lived to film that afterwards. So today's woman that we're going to start with is mentioned only once in the Bible. But this woman is called crazy. They actually say, you're crazy. You're a crazy woman, by a group of other Christians. And so as I was thinking about this story, was this an earned title, or was she simply being misunderstood, being called a crazy woman? So I think, hey, let's find out together as we look at this woman this morning. I would encourage you to take your Bibles with me. We'll be in one passage of Scripture. We have brand new pew Bibles, and they're all the same text that I'll be using today. So if you want to use those, 767 is the page you can turn to. So if you turn there with me, 767, Acts chapter 12, as we look at the woman who was called crazy. Now, gentlemen, you understand, some things in Scripture are good for learning, but not necessarily for repeating. So I'm just with me, okay? You got to hang on to the whole sermon here before you start saying this kind of stuff, and you'll figure it out at the end. So Acts chapter 12, starting with verse number 5, it says this. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. We're going to stop there for a moment at verse 6. If you underline in your Bible, I think it's interesting. Just a side note, I underlined the word sleeping. This guy's in prison, and he's bound by two guards, and he's under arrest, and he doesn't know his future, and he's just sawing logs. A lot of you would be up just worrying. The guy's like, the guard's like, I can't even get any sleep. This guy is just sound asleep and snoring. So it's interesting. But we have to have a little backdrop here. There's a serious problem taking place. There's a serious situation. You see, earlier in chapter 12, we read that King Herod had begun persecuting Christians. As a matter of fact, he had a guy named James arrested, who was a follower of Jesus and a friend of Peter's, and he so despised the Christians that he had James beheaded. That's pretty serious. And it says in the early parts of chapter 12 that because of the reaction of the people, they were really excited about this persecution. Way to go, Herod. You got rid of one of those Jesus followers. He said, oh, they like me better because of this. He has Peter arrested. And it's interesting, also earlier in this chapter, it says that he was bound to four guards for four sets of sentries. So there's four guards watching him. In the early century prison system, if you were just in there for kind of ordinary things, they connected you with one guard. They changed you to one guard. They had four guards watching Peter, which means that Herod had something in store for Peter more than you shouldn't be doing this, a little slap on the wrist. Firmly believe that Herod was going to have Peter beheaded. That's pretty serious. You understand that is the end. So there's all these guards connect with him, and so it's a serious situation. And so something happens before the trial can even take place. We pick up in verse 7. They're in the prison, Peter's there, and it says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. I'm sorry, I read scripture, this is so cool what God does in scripture. He has to have the angel wake him up. He is not dreaming about his head being removed. I don't know what he's dreaming about. But the angel strikes Peter on the side, says, get up, quick get up, he said, and the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea of what the angel was doing, that it was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. That's a deep sleep. Verse 10, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Clap on, clap off. Okay, this is God doing that. They went through it, and then when they had walked through the length of one street, they got to the end of the street. Suddenly the angel left him. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. He finally wakes up. And verse 12, when it had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. So stop here for a moment. Once the fog kind of clears from Peter's mind and he actually wakes up, he finds himself in the middle of the street, a fugitive. And it dawns on him, this is awesome what God has done, but he also realizes that the word's going to get out pretty quickly that he has escaped. And in the Roman culture, when a prisoner escapes, they don't just say, well, you know, we'll just chalk that up to bureaucracy and we just lost one, who cares? They would have started to search for him. So now he's out in the middle of the street, and basically in the middle of the night, and he's saying to himself, I have to get off the streets. I need to find a place to hide. So he thinks of the nearest place he could go to, which is Mary's house, the mother of John Mark. And I can imagine as he comes to her front door, can you put me in this kind of a TV show kind of setting here? He's just escaped, he's waking up, and now he's standing in front of the door, and his heart is just beating rapidly. He's like, wow, I don't know what just happened. And he's also listening. What's he listening for? He's listening for the sound of soldiers. And he's watching, looking back and forth, knocking on the door, looking back and forth, looking for shadows that to maybe represent the soldiers that's coming. So he is, can you imagine his anxiety at the door? Would you be anxious? You want to get in, right? Let me in. Let me in. This is a bad situation. So it says in verse 13, that Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. Now, Rhoda the maid enters the story. It's her job to answer the door. It's also her job to not let anybody in who she doesn't recognize their voice. That's her job. And so there's a knock, and she comes, and she probably was part of the prayer meeting. I believe that she was part of the prayer meeting. She didn't have any set hours. So she hears the door knock and she comes. Then look at verse 14. It says, she recognized Peter's voice and she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. In my notes I wrote, this is hilarious. It's her job to open the door. Oh, sorry. Let me in. Let me in. Peter? Yes, it's Peter. Let me... Where'd she go? The one job that she had at that moment, she was so overtaken by joy that she just ran away. She goes back to the group, and she says to them, Peter is at the door. Verse 15. You're out of your mind. The Greek word is mania, where we get the word maniac and madness. Woman, what have you been drinking? We're in here praying, you are out of your mind. You're crazy. There's no way. They told her, but she kept insisting it was so. And so, and to kind of convince her, they said to her, it must be his angel. Now that sounds interesting, but here's how absurd their answer is. In the first century culture, in the Jewish tradition, they believed that every person was assigned a guardian angel. So they said, you must have heard his angel at the door. That's even crazier because that's not what they were praying for. You think the prayer meeting was, Lord, please just send us Peter's guardian angel. That's not what they were praying for. She says, people, it's Peter. No, it must be his angel. So the debate continues until verse 16. Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. So Rhoda, the crazy lady. And I can imagine her maybe being respectful, but saying under her breath, I told you so. You called me crazy, but I told you so. Now, it's interesting. The name Rhoda means, and I left it blank for you to write down because it's Mother's Day, the name means rose. So, not crazy lady, but rose. And I don't think you can go wrong by calling a lady a rose, especially if you identify yourself as maybe the thorn between the rose or whatever, or outside. So this is Rhoda. She is the rose. And we can learn from this woman who was called crazy. We can learn a few things from her this morning that would be something to benefit and help us and challenge us. Here's the first thing that I want us to learn about crazy Rhoda. Here it is. She believed in the power of prayer. She believed in the power of prayer. It says in verse 14, she recognized Peter's voice. She believed in the power of prayer. She knows Peter's voice because she's heard him teach before. She sat under his teaching. You know, she knows his voice. Just like those of you that listen to maybe sermons on the radio, when somebody comes on, you know their voice. My wife, when she hears J. Vernon McGee, she turns the radio off. She can't stand his voice, okay? There's that, just whatever, that's the way it is. And so others, you know, you recognize their voices. She knows Peter's voice. And she's supposed to be attuned to the voice outside the door. She says, this is no stranger. This is Peter. She recognizes his voice, and she believes in the power of God to answer prayer. She believes it was true. And the question is for us, do we pray like we believe in the power of God? A little bit like crazy Rhoda. Do we pray that we believe in the power of God? I like this quote from Billy Graham. He says this, heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. I'm guilty of this as well. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Rhoda sure did. She says, God has shown answers to specific prayer. And every time we pray, there is great potential for God to answer. Do you believe that? There's great potential for God's power to be shown. And Rhoda believed that. I want you to know this. There's some other people in the story who thought they had power. Herod thought he had power. No. The guards, they thought they had the power. Rhoda believed that God had the power. So you and I need to take her example and believe in the power of God. She understood that prayer is supernatural and based in God's power, and she believed it. Just think about the story with me again briefly. If you don't believe in the power of God, an angel appears. Is that God's power for an angel to appear? I mean, maybe it happens to you two or three times a week, but not normally. So this angel appears, and he pokes Peter and has him get up, and then the chains just fall off. The chains just fall off and the guards don't wake up. Can you imagine Peter? There they go. And then the power of God, as the angel says, put your coat on, put your shoes on, it's time to go. And then they go by the guards that are by the door and they don't wake up. It's just silent. There's no commotion there. Nothing happens. And then they get to the gate. What's the power of God? The gate just opens. allows them to pass through. And then they go down the street and the angel leaves. That is the power of God. And here's what happens. We too often shrink from believing in the power of God through prayer, myself included. I invite you to be a little bit Rhoda crazy when it comes to prayer. Believe in the power of God. The Bible says this. Many of you know this. Ask, seek, and knock. Believing in the power of prayer. As I thought about that phrase, its irony was not lost on me in the story. They were asking at the prayer meeting, were they not? They were seeking, and then God sent the knock. And they're like, it can't be him. They were asking, they were seeking, and then Peter's like, it's me. And I often will ask, I will seek, but I don't believe that the knock's coming. I need to believe in the power of God and the prayers of God to be revealed through his power. Max Lucado says this, our prayers may be awkward. You ever have an awkward prayer at times? You're not sure what to say. Our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. She believed in the power of prayer. And I can't fully explain it for you, and I don't think Rhoda could have fully explained it, but she believed in it. She did. She believed in the power of prayer. She said, it's Peter's voice. Isn't that awesome? So here's something of application. You can bring the next slide up. Here's something. Oh, there it is right there already. Oh, good guys are quick. All right. Pray more believing in the power of prayer. God may surprise you. I want to challenge you with that this week. Pray this week in the power of God, and he may just surprise you. Now, Rhoda believed in the power of prayer. She also proclaimed answers to prayer. She also proclaimed answers to prayer, which is just as important. She said, Peter is at the door, people. I didn't just hear his voice. She ran and told people, Peter is at the door. Rhoda, who is it? Well, I'm not sure. I think it's Peter. It sounds like Peter. Maybe it's a guard doing a good impersonation. I don't know. Is that what the text says? No, she's not uncertain. She says, she runs back to the group and she says, Peter is at the door. God has answered prayer. Then they said, you're crazy. No. And she kept saying to them, Peter is at the door. I am positive of this. And they said, she's crazy. And I would imagine Rhoda saying back to them, why do you think I'm crazy? Isn't this what you've been praying for? This makes me crazy that God has actually answered the prayer. She goes back and she tells them. So here's the deal. When God's power is revealed through answered prayer, you and I know what we need to do? Tell people. Tell each other. Encourage each other with answered prayer. I was thinking that we too often follow this policy when it comes to prayer. Don't ask, don't tell. We do. I mean, we believe in prayer, but we say to people, we never say to somebody, hey, how has God answered prayer in your life? We say, oh, that's too awkward to ask them that question. Why? Well, are we assuming they don't pray? Well, I don't want to put them on the spot. Well, maybe we should. Or we say, don't ask, or we don't tell. God answered a prayer, I'm just going to keep it to myself. Can you imagine Rhoda going back to the group and later they go to the door and find Peter and know he's been there for a half an hour and she never said anything? Well, I didn't want to, you know, show you guys up, but he was there. She said, he's here. If we pray more believing in the power of God to be revealed, I guarantee you, you will have more things to say. And we need to do that. She proclaimed the answers to prayer. I found this little statement I thought was interesting when it came to understanding and answered prayer and sharing it. This person said, sometimes I just look up, smile, and say, I know that was you, God. Thank you. Did you ever have that happen? I know that was you, God. And God answers prayer. I shared this a couple weeks ago, but a lot of you weren't part of that. You've been praying. A lot of you have been praying for my sister, who I wasn't sure about her relationship with God. And so after Easter, I texted her, and I said, did you get to an Easter service? She said, yes, I did. I texted her back, and this is all happening rapid speed because I'm just a rapid texter. So I said, how did it go? She said, well, it wasn't a normal Easter service or normal Easter message. I go, okay. I texted back, what does that mean? Well, our pastor wasn't there. It was someone else, and they were doing a series called Consider Jesus. You know, Consider Jesus, and she gave a bunch of titles. And I said, okay, I texted her back. Well, that's interesting. I'd love to talk to you about whether you have ever considered Jesus. And so she texts me back. She said, dear brother, just because I am not as traditional as you does not mean that I have not trusted Christ as my Savior. I have made that decision. I'm just kind of learning a little bit along the way on this journey. Okay. So I texted her back. I said, That is just awesome. It brings me joy to know that we're on the same path. And she texted me back, it brings me joy as well. Thank you for your concern. Wow. Should I be telling you this story? Yes. No, God doesn't do that all the time, but every once in a while he does. So maybe you have a friend or a family member, a coworker, or a neighbor who needs Jesus. You're like, there's no way. Yes, there is. And maybe God's going to answer that or some other prayer. And should you tell somebody? Yes, we should. Rhoda said she was so excited about getting back to share the answer, she leaves him at the door. I don't know. I mean, I think about these things. I think of Peter just going, really? I made it all this way and I'm going to get captured outside the door? Because the maid just leaves me there. And he's running back, Peter's at the door. He's like, I know I am. Let me in. I got to tell somebody. I love it. In your community groups, as you share with each other, send email, send text, Twitter, Facebook. I don't care how you do it. You should be sharing answers to prayer. And if you're like, well, I don't really ever have any. Well, here's this next line for you. This is for you. Go ahead. You can bring up the next line. Answered prayer should be shared. And if you feel like you have nothing to share, change how you pray. Can I just be really blunt about prayer this morning? If all you're praying for is your meals and for to have a good day, I guess you're covered. But you need to be a little bit more specific. Has God answered any of your prayers? I got one and a mm-hmm. Has God answered any of your prayers? All right. So should you be telling people? Yes, be a little crazy. It's encouraging. Because you know what happens? The more times I hear people tell me that God has answered their prayers, it spurs me on to pray more and to pray more believing. And you say, well, God, I don't know. It doesn't seem like you answered my prayers. Well, maybe because you're not really asking. So Rhoda, she believed in the power of prayer. She proclaimed answers to prayer. And then there's one more thing about Rhoda that I love. She championed the practice of prayer. She didn't just believe in prayer. She didn't just share her answers. It says in verse 15, she kept insisting that it was so. It's Peter. No, it's not. It's Peter. Can you imagine that conversation happening? It's Peter. Rhoda. It's Peter. Rhoda. It's Peter. She kept insisting that it was so. And I don't believe that this statement is just a reinforcement of her saying Peter's at the door. I think it was her saying, I believe in the practice of prayer. I don't think this is the first time that Rhoda's been around prayer or prayed herself. I think she believed in the practice of prayer. Hey, guys, we've been praying in here. This is a good practice. It's a good thing to do. Why are you doubting? She was kind of the champion, the cause of praying and the practice of prayer. I can imagine that after that night, guess who became the chair of the prayer committee? Rhoda. She's like, oh, seems like you really like to pray, so we'll put you in charge. Okay, I'll do that. She believed in the practice of prayer. We as well should be championing the practice of prayer in our lives. That means we should be cheerleaders for prayer. And it starts not corporately, it starts individually. For each of you who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should be a champion for prayer. And here's the deal. No one's going to check up on you because that doesn't help. That just brings guilt into your life. But I want to give you some encouraging words about becoming a cheerleader for prayer in your own life. Just some short insights of how to do that. Because can we all become better cheerleaders for prayer? A little crazier when it comes to praying? The practice of prayer. Here's the first thing. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. If you really believe in a cause, and I know some of you have different causes that you believe in or hobbies that you like. If you have a hobby or a cause you believe in, does it take time and commitment? That was like a rhetorical yes question, wasn't it? I mean, if there's something you like to do, you believe in, it takes commitment. It doesn't just happen. I never would have thought of John Piper, the theologian John Piper, as one who would reference Twitter and Facebook. But he had this quote. One of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove at the last day that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. We have time to pray if we make it a cause. It just takes commitment. Now, you have 4 hours a day to pray? Probably not. But do we have more time than we typically invest in prayer? Yes. Very few times you'll ever hear a pastor from any kind of a podium or table or pulpit say, hey, go crazy this week. I'm going to tell you to go crazy with prayer. Go crazy with prayer this week. Make a commitment to it. Rhoda kind of believed in it. Here's another word. Creativity is important when it comes to prayer, the practice of prayer. Here's what I mean by creativity. Some of you, if you prayed in the morning, it'd just be a longer nap. It would be just an extended snooze time for you. That's okay. You know what I'm saying? Some of you praying in the morning, you're like, well, oh, you're like Peter, you're in the fog. You're like, ah, what's going on? Some of you, if you prayed at night, it'd be morning. So guess what? Pick the time, what best works for you. Middle of the day, driving. Is it okay to pray when you drive? With your eyes open. And by the way, it'd be great if you're praying, let's say you have some time praying on the way to work, whether it's 5, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Let's say you're praying specifically and your mouth's going and someone passes you. You know what they're going to think about you? They're going to think you're crazy. Yes. Isn't that better than thinking you crazy for other reasons? What are they doing? I think they're praying. Whoa. Creativity. Because we lock ourselves and say, well, if I have to pray in the morning and it just doesn't work for me, so I guess I'm not going to. No, be creative about this. Are you allowed to make lists? Like, write down? Yeah, that helps to remember. Maybe you're like, I don't want a list. Okay, fine. Put it on your phone. I don't care. You can make little cards. Pam and I have little cards that we use that we write family members on, and we shuffle them like a card deck, and they pick a card. Pick a card, and we pray for it. I know it's really spiritual, isn't it? It's not really playing cards, but they're just cards. You want to pray more effectively? When you get one of those prayer emails from the church, best time to pray for it is right then. Can you be creative with prayer? Absolutely. Go for it. Here's another thing. She had commitment, creativity, also expect resistance. It's Peter. No, it's not. It's Peter. You're crazy. I'm going to pray more effectively in the power of God. I am so tired. Right? The more you decide you're going to pray, I'm so busy. The lawnmower broke down. I've got extra grading. The teacher gave an extra assignment. Wow, what will I cut out? Prayer. Expect the resistance. Peter, James, and John went into the garden with Jesus. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He says to them, just watch and pray. He comes back. Guys, watch and pray. Comes back. They're out. Comes back a third time. Has to wake them up 3 times. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So don't think that that's unspiritual or be a discouragement to you. I'm just saying, if you try to pray and be creative and commit to it, you're going to have resistance. Moms, you may have to find an insulated closet, do not enter, at risk of your life, whatever, I don't know, because they're going to find you. Where are you? I'm praying for you. Right? Be creative. Last thing, seek assistance. There are some great resources out there when it comes to prayer. Seek some assistance. One thing that a resource, it's primarily for women, but I think it would work for men. Here's a book that I would really encourage you to write down. It's from the creators of The War Room, that film. It's called Fervent by Priscilla Shire. Fervent's the name of the book. You don't have to write down all the stuff in the little sticky note there. But I'll read it for you. It says this: a woman's battle plan for serious, specific, and strategic prayer. It's a very powerful book. My wife just loves this. It helps give some assistance as how to pray. You want to pray in the power of God, just read, you know, get this book and read it. It'll be very influential in your life. Inspire you. Before I finish, I stopped on purpose a couple minutes early because I want to just do this. I'm not going to, don't freak out any of you. So like, you're going to call on me? No, I'm not going to call on anybody in particular. But just real quickly, and I just want, it's dangerous when I do this because I trust you, but I just have to get parameters. I want to have the opportunity for you to share maybe an answered prayer or two. This, I'm not looking for a long story. Is that fair enough? You know, when I was young, if it starts out like that, we're going to have a problem. We just have to say, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay? So, but is there anybody that just would be willing to pop up and just loud and clear face everybody and say, God answered a prayer in this way? With this many people in the room, I imagine God answered a prayer. It doesn't have to be answered yesterday, but does anybody have any answer? Any crazy Rhodas out there? You don't have to be a Rhoda. You know what I'm saying. Yes. Go ahead. Say it out loud. Go ahead quickly. Amen. Thank you, Christian. You can have a seat. That's Christian. All right? You can say amen or whatever after those kind of things. Yeah. Anybody else? Answer prayer. Yes. Amen, Esther. And you're an answer to our prayer that you've been here to encourage us as well. Answer prayer. Yeah, just a small answer to prayer there. 3 years. Debbie, go ahead. Oh, Debbie, sorry, then Linda, go ahead. All right, Linda, go ahead. Got to tell you, this is the winning Rhoda side over here, but I'm just saying, no problem. Call me crazy, but no pressure. Okay. All right, Jeff, thank you. They feel better now. One more, either side. Feel a lot of pressure over here. Oh yeah, Al, go ahead.
Our granddaughter.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead. You and then I'll take Al. Go ahead.
Our granddaughter actually was born
Okay, Al, go ahead. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you for doing that. And again, it doesn't have to be, for those of you that are intimidated about a, you know, group setting, or maybe you're like, whoa, is this only time we're going to do answered prayers, a big group? No, it's better that way. Rhoda, they called her a crazy lady. The crazy lady. Why? Because she believed in the power of prayer. And she had the audacity to share answers and actually say, you know what, we should be praying on a regular basis. If that's the kind of crazy Rhoda, I would suggest that our church could use a few more crazy ladies and crazy men with the example of Rhoda. Joe's going to come and close us in prayer.